glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Welcome to Mark and Friends for August 1st, 2024. I'm your friend Donna Leland, and we're visiting again with Debbie Griffith. Debbie is a speaker and author. You hear her on Everyday Matters, and she's also the author of Orange is the New Blessing. Thanks for coming back, Debbie, to Mark and Friends.
I love sharing with you, Donna, and all the friends and people that are listening, because when I encourage others, I am certainly encouraging myself with the goodness and grace of God.
Amen. Now, you're a busy gal up there in the hinterlands.
Yes, International Falls, Minnesota. Yeah. We're known as the icebox of the nation. Although I'm telling you, for the last 2 weeks, we've been in the 85, 87 degree weather. So yeah, the icebox is definitely a frozen situation and a cold situation in the winter months. But we enjoy all four seasons in a full range. It's just that our winters are longer than most people. I guess I would say that. But our summers are really beautiful and can be very hot as well.
Yeah, obviously. Wow. So someone left the refrigerator open and everybody's melting. So what have you been up to? You're a busy gal and you're a writer, a speaker. What's been going on in the life of Debbie Griffith?
In the world of Debbie Griffith, there are ups and downs, peaks and valleys, and I know people listening, you understand what those situations are. So my dad is not doing super great. He had a stroke and he has a poor heart, and we are in probably the last days of his time on earth. But the reason I even share that, because I know you listening have someone in your life, maybe right now, maybe not that far back in the past, maybe it will happen in the future. So I'm telling you, when you're having a family member like a father or a mother or someone you're so close to and so much love, and they do not know Christ, it's a heavier experience. But I will say, Donna, that the amazing and rejoicing thing I can share is that my dad was able to receive Christ. So I am rejoicing that he has the hope of eternity now and that he understands it. And I've been sharing with him the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of salvation to all who believe, since I was 22 years old and went on a missions trip to Japan and wrote him a letter and left it on his pillow because I thought, here I am going to share the gospel in Japan and my own father doesn't know. And he's always received what I've done as a person in ministry and sharing the gospel, and has been proud of me and loves me. And I remember calling him from Los Angeles before I got on the plane to Japan and him saying to me, thank you for your heartfelt letter. So it was received, but he never surrendered his life to Christ. And I do, of course, would have hoped that he had received that grace and hope prior to being in a hospital bed, but I know he understands it. It wasn't just like, come to Jesus and pray, and there you are. Was able then to explain again the gospel of turning away from your sin. And it isn't about God not loving us because we are good, but because he is good. And he isn't able to speak, but he was able to nod yes and no. Mm. And so I asked him if he wanted to have Jesus come into his life, and that he recognized that he could not earn God's grace by all the good works he's done, and his tenacity and his visionary of having an amazing business and cross-country ski resort and all these things he had done in his life. But God isn't looking at a chart of our good works. He is looking for us to surrender to him and the good work he did on the cross. And my dad did that, and I prayed with him, and then he squeezed my hand, and I'm so rejoicing. That doesn't take away that there's this grief. Even as I'm speaking to you today, it's kind of crazy. And I didn't share this before we got on the air, but I think it's just great that I can share it with you and with others that are listening. Never give up praying, and never think that it won't happen, because God tells us in his word in 2 Peter 3:9 that it is his will that none should perish, that none should die without turning to him. He loves my dad more than I could ever love him. He loves your dad. He loves your mom, your child, your sister, your brother, your dear friend you grew up with. Whoever that person is, he longs for them to come to him, to turn to him. And so I'm sharing that as I go through kind of the grieving process of saying goodbye to him on this earth, but with the hope that I have now that I will see him again.
That's so precious, Debbie. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that.
You and I talked about sharing Zephaniah 3:17, and it's so fitting, and I didn't even realize that, but verse Zephaniah 3:17 says, "The Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He delights in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears, and he rejoices over you with joyful song." And I've broken that down into five parts in order to memorize it. So the Lord your God is living among you. That means he's a living God. He is the only God that is a living God. There's other religions that have gods, but no God is living. Our God is a living God. He's a mighty Savior. He came to save us from our sins so that we have the hope of eternity. He delights in you with gladness. And I want to tell you what that means is that he loves you so much that the Hebrew of that gives a depiction. That particular part of that verse is that he dances around you. He's dancing around you in delight for you, his creation. And when you receive Christ, you become a child of God. So as his child as well, he just delights in you. He loves you so much. He's not mad at you. He's not he's angry God over sin, but he loves his children. He loves whom he created. It is his desire that no one leaves this earth without knowing him so they have the hope of eternity where there are no more tears and no pain. And that is a hope for you listening today.
Go through that verse some more. What other little nuggets can we enjoy?
Okay, so the Lord your God is living among you. He's a present living God. He's a mighty Savior. He delights in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. And I love that so much because if you look in 1 Corinthians 13, it tells you what love is. Love is patient and kind and long-suffering. It doesn't keep a record of wrongs. Very end of that description of love in 2 Corinthians 13 says, his love never fails. With that love, he can calm all your fears of anxiety, your fears of the what ifs, your fears of you have a cancer situation that you need treatment for. It is at a stage 4 situation. All those fears he can calm with his kindness and his gentleness and his faithfulness. It's not just a magic verse, and I say this about any verse in God's word, that you say the verse like Zephaniah 3:17 and you're like, okay, I said it. Now I want to feel differently. And I want to encourage you that it's not necessarily that you're going to feel differently. You still might have the feelings of not being able to eat because you're kind of anxious or your sleep is interrupted because you're wondering, is today the day I say goodbye to my dad or whatever it is. But you can have a knowing. A knowing is different than a feeling, and a knowing can bring peace, that you know that despite the circumstances, you know God is faithful. You know with his love, he will give you his peace because that's what he promises. So I love that part of Zephaniah 3:17 that says, with his love, he will calm all your fears. So in order for you to get to that place maybe of, well, if I just say it, do I get it? I just talk to God out loud and say, I feel this, but I know you say this. And then start listing off what you know to be true. Go to 1 Corinthians 13 and say, God, I know that you are faithful. You are kind. You are long-suffering. You don't keep a record of my wrongdoing. And as you begin to read his word, because he is the word, a peace that passes understanding will truly come over you, and he will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus.
I've experienced that just recently. And you are telling the truth, Debbie. It's his love that calms our fear. You know, when I get fearful and anxious, I try to self-soothe, calm myself down. And I don't know, you use all your tricks in the book, maybe a brownie, correct yourself, right, or whatever usually you go to. But when you sit and know that he loves you, he's not going to leave you, he's in it with you, it does calm you down. And I just think that's what we need to be focusing in on, his love for us. But Debbie, some people have really never felt that God loves them. They know Jesus died for them. They know that they have him as their savior. They have the assurance of heaven, but they're not 100% sure. But they're not 100% sure that he likes to spend time with them down here on the planet. Speak to that about how God really does love us.
Well, I think what helps, at least it helps for me, is to know that he is not waiting for you to trip up and fail, or he's not looking at you to do all these good works and then he'll really love you and be pleased with you. And I've said it before that there's not a sticker gold chart in heaven, that when you do good works, he gives you a sticker and then you get so many stickers and then you get out of a hard place. No, that's not how it works at all. In this world, he said we would have trouble, but to not be afraid, but he has overcome the world. So for me, it's just telling him how I feel and letting me have those feelings. It's not wrong to cry. It's not even wrong to be angry. He tells us in Ephesians 4:26 that he actually says, be angry, but sin not. Well, the sin with anger comes when it takes a root of bitterness or unforgiveness, or you're unkind or disrespectful to someone. That is sin in anger. But it's okay to be angry that something's happening. It's okay to have the feelings. And I think when you understand that God will never leave you when you're feeling that way, and also that he loves you right where you're at and not where you should be, because Donna, we'll never be where we should be.
Right.
He loves you right in the middle of the muck and the mire. He's right there. And over, his love never fails. People will fail us. Circumstances will fail us. Whatever we feed our loneliness with or anxiety with, whether it's food, alcohol, another person, whatever it may be, that will fail us. But God's love will never fail us. So another encouragement I would say to you is, read the Psalms. I just literally read Psalm 23 right before we got on the air. And a lot of people have that one read at funerals. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He comes beside you. And I always am thinking about that in hard places, that when you have Jesus, you do not walk alone. He is there beside you.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. We're all walking through the valley of the shadow of death. There's, you know, predators on all sides.
Yeah.
That is such a
absolutely
perfect, I love that psalm. And what that was speaking about, I read a book called The Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. And he was saying that to get to the choicest feeding areas, you have to walk through these huge canyons from the bottom fields to the upper fields. That's where he wants to take the sheep. But it's very dark. It's scary. All the predators are at the top just waiting to descend and grab a few sheep. And so it's frightening. And the sheep have to stay close to the shepherd. His rod and his staff, they comfort us. And so he has that long stick, and he's just tapping them constantly, saying, I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. And the rod is to throw and, you know, hit a wolf between the eyes and take him out. It's just a beautiful picture of our shepherd knows where we are. He cares. He's with us. It's dark. It's scary. We can hear the howling maybe at our feet.
Yeah.
He's right here. He loves us.
That is so beautiful, Donna. And what the last little part of Zephaniah 3:17 is, he rejoices over you with joyful song. And so kind of tying that in with Psalm 23 is that he's singing over you. He rejoices over you with joyful song. And the picture that God has given me with that part of Zephaniah 3:17 is how when you're holding a child or a baby and you sing to them. And a lot of people say, well, I don't sing. I'm not a good singer. Well, when you're alone with that baby, the baby does not care if you, what kind of singing voice you are, or if you're going to be, on The Voice or something like that. It's, it's just this love that you have for this child, and you want to comfort them. And that's how I think of God, as our Father, just wanting to rejoice over us with joyful song. He so much loves us that he sings over us. He rejoices over us. He created us. He didn't make a mistake with us. We make mistakes, but he doesn't. And he will use all things for the good, because that's a promise from Romans 8:28. And he, with him, nothing is wasted. And so in the book that you mentioned earlier that I wrote, Orange is the New Blessing, From Busted to Blessings, I talk about that very thing in every single story, that nothing is wasted with him. He's a redeemer of all things. So God is always good, even when we're not. Mm. God is always good, even when the circumstances are not.
Mm. You know, you also say in one of your posts, he grieves for wrong choices or things done to us, but he loves mm-hmm. us madly and deeply every day. He does grieve. He is quenched when I'm looking to
right.
other sources and other places for my comfort, to make myself feel whole, to relieve some of these big feelings that I'm going through, when I try to find other sources other than him. But he's the only source. And I'm kind of getting it. You know, you kind of get wiser as you get older, and you start saying, that did not work. That did not work. It will never satisfy. And I'm just going to cut to the chase and just go to the Lord.
And it's true, too. I'm glad you shared that, because, yeah, we all have vices. We all desire to satisfy the flesh at times. But there's other times that we've done something that we've lied, we've stolen, we're in an addiction. I don't know, sometimes maybe skirting on the precipice of an affair, knowing that, oh, well, I'm just, you know, connecting with an old high school friend, happens to be the opposite sex. And so you start to do these little, like, it's not that bad, because it's, but if you can't tell your spouse or you can't tell another person about some of the actions that you're doing that you maybe know deep in your heart is not healthy, then that's going to be a sin issue, because anything that is covered up in darkness is not healthy, and you need to bring it to the light. So when you maybe have not done that, I just want that person listening to know that God will forgive you, and you just turn to him, and he doesn't punish you for your sin, in the sense that there's forgiveness for it. So you think, well, I've already messed up, there's no hope for me now. No, there's always hope for you, because there's always Christ and his grace and forgiveness. So I really want to encourage that person listening that if you are in a place where you're knowing, you know, well, I haven't stepped over the line, but you're in a place where, maybe my glass of wine every night is now two glasses of wine every night, and maybe I should share that with someone. Or maybe, like I just said, the messaging I have with this old high school boyfriend is maybe that's not the best thing. Maybe I should share that with my husband. Like, oh, I've reconnected with Bob. And he's like, Bob who? You know, or whatever. Like, I think bringing out to the light, and it makes me think of James 5:16 that says, we are to confess our sins to one another and pray for one another, and we will be healed. And then the second part of James 5:16, a lot of people know that part, because it says, and the prayer of a righteous man availeth much, is powerful, mighty in its work. Well, the first part of the verse is, confess your sins, pray for one another, you will be healed, and the prayer of a righteous man will have much power, dynamic in its working. So we can't skip that part about confessing our sins. And God's already aware of it. So he already has the grace. It's a continual grace and forgiveness that flows through us by his mighty work on the cross. So that's important to know. But there are times we need to come forward and bring our activities to the light. So we don't want the devil to get a foothold. If he gets a foothold, he'll get a stronghold. And then that really can be a difficult one to get out of.
That is so true. We don't want the strongholds. I mean, that's why he came, to set us free. It is for freedom.
Absolutely.
That Christ Jesus has set us free. We're talking with Debbie Griffith, the author and also the speaker on Everyday Matters. And Debbie, if someone would like to access some of your wonderful materials, how can they do that?
Well, that's so sweet to ask. I have a website, and it's my name, Debbie, D-E-B-B-I-E, Griffith, G-R-I-F-F-I-T-H, debbiegriffith.com. And you can subscribe to the five everyday matters that are heard on this station and other stations. You'll get the transcript on Monday for the five, and you'll also be able to listen to those. And I'll look at one and go, oh yeah, I needed that. Yeah. Or sometimes I'll share it on social media and someone will say, thank you for sharing this today. I really needed it. And I'll reply, so did I. So did I.
Because you're writing out of your own experience. You're sharing what the
right.
Lord's sharing with you. And I think that's what makes it so authentic. You're not up in the ivory tower.
No, I'm saying like, I am sharing with you what God is sharing with me. I don't have it all together, but thank goodness he does.
Amen. Now you're also speaking and you're also going around doing different women's events. What can they expect when Debbie Griffith shows up?
That's so sweet to ask too. They can expect fun because I like to have fun and I am a person that never uses PowerPoint. I use props because I have a theater background and I wanted to be a Broadway star. And I would say, and that was my dream from when I was 12 years old. I went for 3 months to the Minneapolis Children's Theater and I took classes and I was there all summer. And that was my goal. But I would say to you 100% that God did not deny my dream. He just redirected it. And I use the theater on the stage and I share God's truth, God's word, the power of who he is in our lives. And then I take songs from musicals and then I'll just change the words. So I'm Annie Oakley from Annie Get Your Gun. And how to memorize scripture. I like to have fun. I want to be able to laugh. So I share authentically and in a sincere way of where I've been and who God's been in that place, but also just, you know, the crazy things, the funny things, because I know laughing is one of the best medicines.
It is. It really does. It just soothes your soul and releases some really good stuff. Well, thanks again, Debbie, for taking time out of your hot day in this hot summer and sharing with us on Mark and Friends.
Thank you so much, Donna. It's so fun when you find another sister in Christ that can encourage you like you encourage me, and then we can come together and encourage others. So I appreciate that.
Amen. Bless you. And thank you for listening to Mark and Friends, a ministry of Great News Media. Tune in tomorrow. Pastor Jason and Mark sit down with others, and they have a great Bible study. That's tomorrow on Mark and Friends.